You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 13th of January 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, it wasn't that long ago that we were being told that we needed to import people into the country to look after us in our old age. And this is because we're not producing enough of our own to do this, and we need to be importing people from outside the country to look after our old people. And it's a bit of an indictment, really, on the way that we do things, because we do tend to put our older relatives in care homes, which is really wrong. You know, they looked after us when we needed looking after, when we needed to be wearing diapers or nappies, and looked after when we are children. And when we grow up and we're older, we should really look after our parents if they get to that sort of a stage. But a lot of people end up putting them in care homes. And it really is something that's quite admirable, I think, about places like India, where they just keep the old people with them. They keep the in-laws with them the whole time and look after them. And that is quite admirable. But over here in the West, we tend to put our old people in care homes. And what we do today is we import people from Africa and other third world countries to look after our old people. And this is really quite concerning when you hear some of the things that are going on. I mean, if you have somebody that is a white person that's looking after an elderly person, then I would suggest they are going to have an affinity to that person anyway, because they're going to be related to them. They're going to be of the same ethnic group. They're going to be partially related to them by blood anyway. And they're going to be part of the same culture. They're going to speak the same language. So communication isn't going to be difficult. But if they're coming from, say, somewhere in Africa, communication is going to be different. And they might have a very different culture. And of course, people will say, oh, well, it's not that different. Looking after old people is the same wherever you are. But that's not the case. This first article that I've got here tells us that some migrants that are looking after the elderly in care homes don't even know how to use cutlery, don't even know how to use a knife. I guess they must just use their hands in the country that they come from. The title of this article is Migrants Working in Care Homes Taught What Toast Is and How to Recognise a Knife. And this comes from GB News. Staffordshire County Council have released a guide on kitchen basics for foreign care workers. I mean, who doesn't use a knife? What is it that they use in Africa? I think they do have knives, even if they didn't have metal ones. I'm sure they would use sharp stones in a similar way. Migrant workers in Britain's care homes are being taught what toast is and how to recognise a knife. The material, which is taxpayer-funded, has been created for foreign workers, and left campaigners questioning what the point is in hiring those who need such basic training. I mean, it's quite incredible, really, that they would put somebody that doesn't know how to use a knife and doesn't know what toast is and put them in charge of looking after the elderly. I mean, I keep reading about these awful things that are happening when these care workers are looking after the elderly. And this is just more evidence of that, isn't it? Foreign workers are said to face challenges, especially when it comes to everyday tasks like cooking, according to Staffordshire County Council, which produced the material. And I can remember at the time of the Grenfell Tower, when that was burnt down, that some people were saying, well, this is because you get migrants over here and they don't know how to use a cooker. They don't know how to use an electric cooker or a gas cooker. and they just end up putting up an oil drum and putting wood in it and setting fire to it and trying to cook like that. And of course it presents a fire risk. Now, it was a fridge, I believe, that actually set that fire off. But there were people at the time that were saying, you know, this is quite a common thing, is that you get migrants that don't know how to use cookers. And what they're used to doing is cooking on an open fire. And they'll try and literally have a fire indoors so that they can do the cooking. And that presents a fire risk. And effectively, what they're saying here is people like that are being put in charge of looking after our elderly. West Midlands Social Care International Recruitment Hub shared the material on their website. The guide describes to foreign care workers how to use basic kitchen equipment, such as a knife, which is, quote, essential for chopping, instructing users to hold the handle firmly and use a rocking motion to cut food. And of course, a knife is a tool, and yet our government doesn't seem to quite understand that, and they seem to think that it's a weapon and that we must ban places from selling knives. It's become very difficult to actually get hold of a knife to actually do your cooking with. And I've had lots of problems just even getting a potato peeler, because potato peelers are now blunt, because some people might decide to try and use them for a weapon. I can remember a few years back, somebody was actually arrested for having a potato peeler in Scotland. Have you got a license for that knife, mate? It warns, however, to keep your fingers away from the blade. Other items such as a chopping board, a whisk and a mixing bowl are explained. Readers are told how to use tongs, squeeze the handles to open and close. Now, if you have people that need to be told how to do all these things, surely they're the last sort of people that you want looking after your treasured elderly relatives. The guide also details traditional English recipes such as toast. I didn't realise toast was a recipe, which is a simple and popular food made by browning slices of bread using a toaster. Beans on toast, how to heat up canned soup and prepare ready meals are also explained. It also tells the reader they can use sensory cues to decide if food is okay to eat. Now, I should imagine they already know how to do that. They may not be used to best before labels, so I should imagine they already use their nose and their eyes for things like that. But according to this, perhaps not. Look for visible signs like mould, fluffy or dusty patches, or sniff or smell dairy products to see if they have soured, it adds. On the note of hygiene, the guide instructs readers to wash their hands before cooking, explaining that it helps to remove any bacteria or germs that may be on your hands. The hub also provides AI coaches to direct migrant workers to advice on healthcare, housing and financial help. William Yarwood, the media campaign manager at the Taxpayers Alliance, said, "This is a perfect snapshot of Britain's broken migration system, taxpayers footing the bill to teach migrant workers what toast is and how to recognise a knife. If migrant workers need this level of basic training, they should not have been recruited in the first place. Ministers must tighten recruitment standards immediately and avoid wasting money on this type of training." And it actually cost £1.8 million in government funding to set up this scheme. And then they distributed £15 million to selected councils to boost foreign worker recruitment. So they're trying to get more foreign workers in, and obviously they're lowering the standards if they need to be told how to use cutlery. Along with a cooking guide, there are 14 other care guides, such as personal appearance guide and positive behaviour support guide. The Migration Observatory found that after 2022 saw an influx of care workers following eased visa restrictions, and 99% of the staff came from outside the European Union. India, 33%, Zimbabwe, 16%, and Nigeria, 15%, led the way. So these are the people that you will have looking after your parents and your relatives, will be people from the third world that don't even know what toast is, and the government are giving these councils extra money in order to bring in even more people like this. Martin Rogerson, Cabinet Member for Health and Care, said, "We make a range of information available online to the wider care market so it is low cost and readily accessible. The basic guide is designed for care workers who may be preparing food as part of their care role, for, with, or alongside people who need care. Those with care needs may include young adults with a learning disability, learning to live independently, or people who are regaining their skills after a stroke, for example. So it's written to describe cooking skills very simply and in a way that would be appropriate and helpful while supporting those with care needs who are gaining or maintaining their independence. I can't imagine anything worse than being a young adult with a learning disability or someone with a stroke, and you're being expected to be looked after by this caregiver who, if they don't know how to use a knife and don't know how to prepare toast, they're probably not going to be very good at communicating. They're going to have a very strong accent. They may not even speak English, and you're just not going to get the help that you should be getting, are you? The sort of help that you would be getting from somebody that's European. Now, this article implies that the people that are being brought in to do the care working aren't particularly intelligent, and we may say, well, this is terrible. People are coming in without knowing how to use a knife and fork. But there are far worse things happening than this in the care industry, particularly in Sweden. And this is really shocking, this is. This comes from the Daily Mail. The headline says, "The migrant social workers who raped women in Swedish care homes, Iraqi abused 100-year-old but wasn't deported, Syrian's victim died, and another carried out a sex attack a month after being a citizen." And where it says social workers in Swedish care homes, what it means is care assistants. It means care nurses that are doing this. They have a particular problem in Sweden with one is bad enough, but they've got a large number of these care workers that have literally been raping the elderly patients. Sweden is in the midst of battling a migrant care worker sexual assault crisis, making elderly women vulnerable to traumatic violence. An Iraqi citizen raped a 100-year-old woman in Stockholm in October, but was not deported on the basis that he has strong ties to the country. An elderly woman died a week after being sexually assaulted by a Syrian care worker, who visited her house on the pretense of assisting her and instead entered her bed without consent. In February, a man raped a woman in her 80s, struggling with dementia at a nursing home, a month after he received Swedish citizenship. The incidents are part of some 398 rapes against women over the age of 60 that have been reported in Sweden from 2021 to now, according to an astonishing investigation by Expressen. And what you have to think of when you look at this is, if these elderly people had been looked after by white nurses, do you think any of those attacks would have happened? I mean, is it heard of that you get white nurses raping elderly white patients? I can't recall ever hearing about it. Certainly not a rash of numbers like this. And again, it's caused by the government's immigration policy. You know, looking after the elderly is a very important job. It should be paid well, and it should have trained people to do this. And it's really a measure of how little we actually value our elderly, that we don't pay good money for this. And because we don't pay good money for it, white people don't want to do it. It's a, you know, if you're wiping old ladies' bottoms, it's probably not a very nice job, and you might not really want to do that job. So they should be paying higher amounts of money for it. But at least if you have white people doing this, they're not likely to rape the patient, are they? But we have to say, unfortunately, if they're not white, that there is a chance that this will happen. There is more of a chance that this will happen than if the care worker was white. And also, if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy, if they weren't literally bringing these people in to do this job, then it wouldn't have happened. And these white ladies that this horrible crime happened to, none of them would have been raped if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy bringing in these people that were not Swedish to do this job, which should only be done by Swedes. It should really be done by a family member, even if it's an extended family member, if it's part of your own ethnicity. But it's certainly not something that you should be farming out to other ethnic groups, because they are just not going to have the instinctive concern for the patient that somebody from their own ethnic group is going to have. Reacting to the findings, the Prime Minister of Sweden, Ulf Kristersson, of the Moderate Party, expressed outrage at the way violent criminals are protected from deportation on the basis of having ties to the country. So he's not outraged that these poor elderly women have been raped as a result of his immigration policy. What he's concerned about is that they're not actually able to deport these criminals after they have raped these elderly Swedish women. He said, if you're not a Swedish citizen and commit such horrific acts, you have forfeited your rights to be in Sweden, he wrote on X. But quite clearly they haven't, because they can't deport them and they're still in the country. Next year, Sweden will have the toughest legislation in all of Scandinavia when it comes to deporting foreign citizens who commit serious crimes. That's what he tells us. Will that actually take place, though? The rape of the 100-year-old woman occurred in October this year, and this article was actually came out on Christmas Eve, after she complained of having a chest pain in Stockholm. She called an ambulance, but instead she was visited by home care worker Shakia, who suggested applying an ointment before he inserted an unknown object into her vagina. I mean, this is just absolutely sick. We have to talk about these things because people have to know what's going on. As I say, don't blame the migrants, blame the government for facilitating this. None of this could happen. They couldn't even be here. They couldn't even be in a position where they could do this if it wasn't for the Swedish government opening up its borders and allowing these people to come in into the country. That's the fact of the matter. You might quite clearly, you would be angry at the person that did this, but he was facilitated to do this by the Swedish government. They're the ones that your anger should be directed at. That we have to talk about these subjects because this is what's going on. And when people hear that this is what's going on, they rightly get upset at it, and that's why we then have to direct their emotions towards the government rather than towards the person that carried this out. To get angry at the person that carried this out is to do what the government want you to do. They want you to blame the migrants for all of these problems, when it's not the migrants' fault, it's the government's fault for facilitating it, for allowing these people into our country where they then have the possibility that they can carry out these crimes against white people. The woman shouted, "Stop! What are you doing? What are you doing?" Despite the victim's protests, the assault continued for 10 minutes, and she told investigators, "Then I was ready to cry, and I thought, you work here, and you do this to people, to women." And that's the thing. How many other women has he done this to? How many other women had dementia or were senile? A lot of these women, they're extremely vulnerable, and they wouldn't be able to even report it if this sort of thing was being done to them. On December the 17th, Shakir was sentenced to 4 years in prison and acquitted of suspicions of raping a 94-year-old woman. So all he got was 4 years in prison for raping this 100-year-old woman. While prosecutor Lynn Neuberg had also requested a 10-year deportation, the Södertörn District Court did not agree with her. Judge Mohammed Ali argued that Shakir is established in Sweden, where he has close contact with his daughter, who is a Swedish citizen. So a judge that was also non-Swedish prevented the deportation order. He said, "We have reviewed the reasons for and against deportation. On the one hand, the crime and the penalty, and on the other hand, the connection to society. We have particularly taken into account that he has lived here since he was a youth, and he has a minor child here in Sweden. These are very strong circumstances." And Professor Neuberg has previously said that she will likely appeal this decision. But surely he should give up his rights to all of that now that he's been raping elderly Swedish citizens. And it's not just he's been raping elderly Swedish citizens, he's been given access to them because he's supposed to be a nurse. He's supposed to be somebody that these people can trust, somebody that's supposed to be there and doing the job that he's doing because he wants to help people. And it's abominable that this man is out raping rather than helping these elderly. Johan Forselli, Sweden's Minister of Migration, took to X to express his outrage at the case and blamed the Social Democratic Party, who the moderates beat in the 2022 general election. The previous Social Democratic government allowed Sweden to become a haven for convicted criminals. It is offensive, he wrote. But they're not going to change their migration policy, are they? This is the thing. This is the game they play. They'll just blame the previous administration when the fault is actually by government itself, not any particular party, because they all go along with essentially what the previous party did. Next year, the government will present proposals that will mean that Sweden will have the toughest legislation in the entire Nordic region when it comes to deporting foreign citizens who have used up Swedish hospitality. For example, this involves increasing the number of criminal deportations sixfold, and that the safety of the victim of crime should outweigh the perpetrator's possible connection to Sweden. The government is also driving the review of the application of the European Convention. We are going further than any other government has ever done to ensure that Sweden is safe. For the government, it is always a priority to stand on the side of the victims of crime. But what they're doing is they're doing something after the crime has happened. They're not doing anything to prevent the crime happening in the future. They're not saying, well, we, for instance, we can no longer have non-Swedes looking after the elderly because this has happened so many times. They're not saying that. They're saying if a non-Swede does this, then we'll deport them if we're able to. Well, that, you know, that's not a lot of good telling this poor woman who's been raped that the person's going to be deported, is it? I mean, really, she didn't want to be raped in the first place. And if it wasn't for the government's policy of immigration and also this other policy of claiming that everybody is all equal, when quite clearly we're not all equal, and you're going to have more concerns for somebody who is related to you than you are for somebody who is not related to you. And I'm talking there about ethnic relations. The people that are part of your ethnic group, you are related to by birth. You're all interconnected through birth. You're all relatives of one another, relatives far removed. And you're going to have more of a sense of kinship with somebody from your own ethnic group than somebody from another ethnic group. I mean, it's just amazing that we would entrust probably our second most valuable possession, our elderly, our first most valuable possession would be our children. Our second most valuable possession, which would be our parents and our elderly relatives. And we entrust them to people from another ethnic group who don't even know how to use a knife and fork, according to this other article that we covered. Johan Brits, the Minister of Labour, also drew attention to the ruling on X. A 38-year-old man is convicted of raping a 100-year-old woman. Even though he is a foreign citizen, he is not deported. The connection to Sweden weighs more heavily. Now the government is tightening the legislation so that more people will be deported, but it should have been done much earlier, he wrote. Again, nothing about doing anything to prevent this from happening. It's all, let's mop up the spilt milk after it's been spilt on the floor. Henrik Vinge, the deputy leader of the Sweden Democrats, said, "The thought that this rapist who has violated a 100-year-old woman will be free in our country in 2 years and 8 months is an unsettling one." And again, he got a 4-year sentence, which literally means he will be out in 2 years for doing that. And they're saying, oh, well, the thing is, we need to deport them, but we're not able to deport them. They're clearly not giving them enough of a punishment either for doing these horrendous actions. If this had taken place in an Islamic country, he would be swinging by his neck from a crane. "That we have this system in our country is incomprehensible to me. The court assesses that the man, under the current regulations, has too strong a connection to Sweden to be deported, despite lacking citizenship and having been a frequent visitor to both police and courts during his time in Sweden." So he doesn't even have Sweden citizenship, and they're not able to deport him. What is he even doing in Sweden in the first place, where he's able to carry out this horrific crime? "The rape of the 100-year-old woman is just one example out of several incidents disclosed in the Expressen investigation." We have another one here. "In the autumn of 2023, nursing assistant Melch Kalita, 34, raped a woman with Alzheimer's disease in the shower of a nursing home in Eskilstuna." And of course, they have Alzheimer's, they have dementia, and their testimony is just not going to be believed. And that's probably why this person thought he'd be able to get away with it. "After Kalita was exposed by a colleague, the victim's family found out about the attack a month later and filed a police report." So he was exposed by a colleague. Did a colleague actually see this happening? This summer, he was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison despite his denial. Again, 3.5 years in prison. So he'll be out after a year and 6 months after raping an elderly woman with dementia. I mean, it says here he was exposed by a colleague. Was he boasting about it to a colleague? Could that be possible, that these people would literally boast about doing things like this? An Eritrean citizen, he was not deported due to his refugee status and connections to his children, the newspaper said. And if I remember rightly, when they looked at the statistics over here in Britain, they said that Afghans and Eritreans were over 20 times more likely to rape or sexually assault females than the white British people. So we know that these Eritreans are more likely to carry out sexual assaults anyway. And then we've got this one that's raping the elderly. Quite clearly, the Swedish government know these statistics, know what the Eritreans are like, know what the Afghans are like, and yet they still invite them into their country. The 34-year-old had previously been investigated for a similar incident, leading to him being banned from helping women with personal hygiene while alone. So the same thing had happened before, but they still allowed him to look after the elderly patients. They didn't even say, well, that's it, you're no longer able to look after the elderly. They still facilitated it. He was also told to read the municipality's procedure for abusive discrimination and sexual harassment. The victim's attorney, Attorney Elizabeth Massey Fritz, said the municipality's handling of this has been highly remarkable. They should have an obligation to report crimes to the police, and they should never have allowed the perpetrator to continue working after the first incident. So they never reported the first incident. Oh, that was just a little mistake when we caught you raping this elderly patient. We'll overlook it. Just make sure you don't rape anymore. Johan Lindstrom, the head of health and social care on a regional level, defended the municipality. I mean, how can you defend the municipality in a case like this? Those who handled this felt that they did the right thing. And in a factual sense, they probably did the right thing based on confidentiality legislation, he said. So they were obeying orders. And it's in actual fact the orders that tell them that they're not allowed to report somebody if they catch them raping the elderly. I should imagine they probably would report them if they were white. But the fact that they were from another country, of course, there's the risk that you'd be accused of racism for doing it. He admitted, however, that everyone, including ourselves, probably thinks that it was wrong. Following the case, the municipality has changed its procedures. We inform relatives, unless we believe there are special reasons why the person would not have wanted it. And the same goes for reporting to the police, said Lindstrom. So clearly they didn't even tell the relatives of this person that had been raped, the first person, that their relative had been raped by this non-white care worker that they were employing. Third case. In February, this is last year, a woman in her 80s confided in her daughter that she had been raped by a man during the night in her room at a nursing home in Arjag. Because the woman had early dementia, the daughter wondered if the incident had been a terrible dream. Well, that's the sort of thing you're going to hope, isn't it? That it was just a dream. But when she saw a stain on the mattress cover on her mother's bed, she reported the incident to the police. A few months later, forensic analysis revealed that the semen belonged to Ali Hassan Zada, 40, who had worked alone in the women's ward the night of the rape. He was arrested and initially denied the allegation before claiming that the woman had forced herself upon him. He was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison by the Court of Appeal for aggravated rape, and he received Swedish citizenship just over a month before the attack. So he sort of rewarded himself with his Swedish citizenship by going out and raping an elderly woman with dementia. 5.5 years is what he got there. So he'll be serving 2.5 years of that sentence in prison. You think about the sentences they had out in Britain for complaining about this sort of stuff, or using the wrong language when you complain about this sort of stuff. And you're talking people getting more of a sentence for complaining about this than the actual rapists for carrying out these horrific crimes. A 90-year-old woman in Umeå, eastern Sweden, was visited by home care worker Mohammed Karar, 33, in February. He was meant to assist her with showering. Instead, he forcibly spread her legs and penetrated her with his fingers while exposing himself to her. A relative of the victim alerted the municipality, which stopped Carrar from visiting the woman, but did not even suspend him. Absolutely incredible. So he was still able to carry out the same on any of the other women that he felt like. I mean, we don't have the evidence that he did, but it was possible that he could, because they had still allowed him to work with elderly women. I guess they were worried they'd be accused of racism if they'd sacked him. They took the measures they deemed appropriate in the situation, the Deputy Director of Operations at Umeå Municipality has previously said. A few weeks after the rape, Carrar visited an 85-year-old woman he was supposed to help with flexibility. He told her husband to walk the dog outside in order to be alone with the woman. In her bedroom, he exposed himself to her and sexually assaulted her. The 33-year-old Iraqi citizen was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison for aggravated rape and aggravated sexual assault. So the first thing he does after still being given the job and not being given the sack is he goes out and he does it again. Bit of a pattern here, isn't there? A 25-year-old home care worker visited a woman in Varnesborg in April 2024. She was in her bed when he lay on top of her, made sexually suggestive movements and groaned. She was questioned by the police and said the ordeal lasted 5 to 10 minutes and the woman died a few weeks after the assault. In court, her son said that she was in a state of disintegration when she called him the day of the assault. "That ass, that bastard has been on me," the woman said. The man was sentenced to 1 year in prison for aggravated sexual assault in October. 1 year in prison. You think Sam Melio did 2 years in prison for making stickers with immigration statistics on them. And yet this Syrian, aggravated sexual assault, he may have raped her, he may not, just 1 year in prison. A citizen of Syria, he was also sentenced to 10 years of deportation. So not even deported for good. He can come back in 10 years' time. He denied any wrongdoing. Prime Minister Kristersson said Sweden is leading the charge to change the application of the European Convention on Human Rights to enable the deportation of violent criminals. "No previous government has gone this far to make Sweden safer," he wrote on X. They keep repeating the same thing, don't they? They keep saying, "We're making it safer," when what they're actually doing is just mopping up the spilt milk. They're saying, "We will deport these people." They're not preventing them from carrying out these attacks in the first place. They're doing nothing to limit the numbers of people from Eritrea coming into Sweden. They're not banning people that aren't Swedish from looking after the elderly. They're doing nothing to prevent this from happening. They're just saying, "Well, we might make it a bit easier to deport these foul people after they've carried out their offensive crimes." Swedish politician Vinji said many home care services don't even check the criminal records when they are hiring. Language requirements are the exception, and it seems, based on the reporting from the past few weeks, that there is a rape epidemic going on in our nursing homes. A rape epidemic. It's probably been going on for some years now, and it's only now being reported on. He continued, "It is appalling, and politics must step in to steer and demand accountability. Enough is enough. No elderly woman should have to worry about this. Soon we will give the municipalities the right to require criminal record checks for employment in care services. It is absolutely central." I find it hard to believe that they're not even allowed to do criminal record checks for care, and especially when they're taking on people like this. Abu Shakir, who raped the 100-year-old woman, he said he was a regular at both the police and the courts, convicted of forgery and drug driving. This spring, he lost his driver's license for a year after driving with drugs in his blood. Yet he got a job in home care, where he, by the way, had been driving around in the home care vehicles, presumably without a license. Had he been stopped in the hiring process, he would never have been able to rape that poor woman who deserves to spend her final time on earth in peace, not in fear. This farce must come to an end. My party and I will do everything we can to restore order in home care. No elderly person should have to experience this. So he's from the Sweden Democrats. He's slightly better. He's going to make it so that they can do background checks before they hire these people. But he's still not saying we're going to ban anybody who's not Swedish from looking after our elderly. And what does it say? It says they don't value their elderly that much. What do you think would happen in an Islamic country if somebody that wasn't from that country was to be caught raping the elderly? I mean, they would be hanged. They would be publicly hanged for doing so, and they would probably ban people from whatever nation that was from ever looking after their elderly again. That's if they do have people looking after their elderly. I suspect that it's a family thing, and it should be a family thing over here, but at least if it's not a family thing, it should be the extended family. It should be members of your own ethnic group that are looking after the elderly, and I think that would prevent this sort of thing from happening. I mean, if it ever would happen, it's not something I can recall reading about, white people ever doing anything about this, but we do hear about this propensity for sexual assault that comes from people from particular countries, Afghan and Eritrea, 20 times more likely to carry out sexual assault or rape than white people. So we know that there is a possibility, a higher possibility of these sorts of things happening with members of certain ethnic groups. And the government knows that, but they're doing nothing to prevent this, are they? They're just saying, well, we might make it easier to deport them. And what about in Britain? Because if this is happening in Sweden now, I'm fairly sure it's also going to be happening in other countries where you have migrant care workers. There was another article I saw this just this morning on X about a family that were pleased that they'd managed to get, I think, 4 care workers punished in the courts for mistreating the elderly relative. Of course, these are all black nurses that have been mistreating the relative. I really hope that we don't start seeing this sort of thing in Britain. Maybe it's already happening and they're hushing it up because they don't want to appear to be racist. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.